Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. We want to read chapter 3, verse 1 through 11 this morning and share with you the thoughts we feel the Lord's placed upon our heart. And very good stuff. I like the book of Acts, don't y'all? Certainly good stuff today. And one of the, as you see there, the first phrase under Welcome to Payton, it says the first miracle of the new birth church. After Pentecost, the church basically was born when Peter preached and the 3,000 were added. And that began the church as we know it. Well, here Peter and John's going up into the temple and something great happens. So I'd like for us to share and focus on this just for a few minutes, and we ask for your prayers. Certainly we need them always, because sometimes this doesn't come easy, but the Holy Spirit does. And we want to share with you the thoughts that we feel God wants us to allow us to see here this morning. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You watch this.
Anything to give? Alms?
Look on us.
Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
that look, I want you to remember that. As he's approaching the temple to worship, had been in this shape all of his life. Don't know how many years that they had brought him every time, every Sabbath day to worship, and they laid him at the gate called Beautiful there at the temple. And I've often thought, as I look at him walk in just on that video, and I can imagine what it must have been like the day Peter touched him and God touched him. He had to be amazed, correct? Oh my, he had to be amazed. Probably had felt isolated and helpless, in fear, lonely, all of his life. And there's a lot of people today in this life that feels isolated, that feels helpless, that feels like that they're an outcast. That's evident because sometimes people that feel that way, they resort to violence. But I want you to understand here before we get finished today, our amazing God loves every one of us for who we are. Ain't he a great God? How wonderful he is. So as we look at this, the first recorded miracle of the church, lessons for witnessing. I believe this was more than just a miracle. It was something that we should see. It was a sign, a demonstration of two things. Number one, that Jesus is alive, that he's not in the grave, that he's alive evermore, forevermore. And that also he's now working through his followers, such as Peter and John. As we look at this and we begin to understand the movie, y'all remember that? God's not dead. Let's don't treat our Lord like he's dead. He's not. He's not a piece of gold on our mantle or some kind of object, is he? But he's on the throne in heaven and he knows our needs. He knows if we're lonely. He knows if we're isolated. He knows what you need today. He's not dead. Why? Because he's alive. Where did I find life? I found it at the cross. When I came to know Jesus at the foot of the cross and I knelt there in that spiritual sense and I asked for forgiveness of all my sins, he changed my life forever. And he can change your life. He can change your family's life. He can change your friend's life. He can change anybody's life that will come to know him as their personal Savior. Why? Because he's alive, right? My amazing God allowed me to know him this morning. He's alive. He's not dead, but he is alive. So let's think about it. He's alive, and now he's coming to work in the lives of the believers. So the Holy Spirit has came in chapter 2. We know that he's failed. His mission was, the Holy Spirit is to complete that the Father had sent Jesus to do. Jesus was sent to show the world how great God's love was and still is for all of the world. Correct? The work of Jesus continues through the faithful with the motivation of the Holy Spirit working through us. So God's not dead. He is alive. That's what we need to learn from this passage. And that he wants to work in you, in me, and throughout all of this world among every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's understand that he's chosen us. He had his own feet that he walked on here, but today he chooses to use our feet. Today he chooses to use our hands. Today he chooses to use our voice, correct? And I believe that today, as we look at this, you and I may be the only Bible that your friends, that your loved ones may ever read. Because they're looking at our life. And God has chosen to use us as weak instruments, seems like. But he has chosen to use us Amen. The Apostle Paul said that the world called preaching foolishness, but unto us, what is it? It is the power of God unto salvation. I'm thankful that I heard the gospel preached, aren't you? That I heard the message that Jesus saves, that He loves, and that He loves you and all of this world. He wants to use us. He wants to use your feet. He wants to use your hands. He wants to use your voice. Y'all believe that? He is. He's going to use us. So, as we go back and we look in verse 1, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, it being the ninth hour. So, the question there is that I put on there, how's our prayer life? They made it a point to pray. And it was, you know, through Scripture as we look, evening and morning, the psalmist said in Psalm 55, evening, morning, and noon I will pray, cry aloud, and ye shall hear my voice. So it was something that was biblical and customary in the days of the Bible, all the way back into Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6. Remember what Daniel did after they decreed, tricked the king to making this decree, that nobody could call out on anyone in prayer except the king. Now here Daniel has heard this and he says, hey, I don't call on no one but God. So he went back to his upper room and opened the window toward Jerusalem, and he knelt down on his knees three times that day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as his custom since early days. There's, you know, I think it's in the book of Mark, it says that Jesus' custom was to enter into the synagogue as his custom was. He went to the temple. He went there to worship. And I began to think as we look in verse 10, Peter went on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Acts chapter 10 is the setting of the vision at Cornelius' house. And thank God for that. We'll get to that here in a few weeks. But if it wasn't for that vision, that allowed the Gentiles to be able to receive the holy presence of God. Well, I'm thankful for that. That he didn't leave us out, that it's not exclusively for the Jews. But Paul says, I've been sent to preach not only to the Jew, but also to the Greek. The Greek's a representation of Gentiles, which means you and I. Unless y'all are Jews, I don't know. Y'all may be. But I'm not. But I'm thankful that I'm a forgiven individual today. I mean, it's because God loves me. God loves you. Amen. You know why? Because He's alive. He's alive. And He wants to work in us. So, as we look in verse 2, a certain man, a man lame from his mother's womb, was carried, and they laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. He's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look on us. Look on us. So there's four things I want us to see. Jesus works through those who are faithful in prayer. Jesus works through those who look and see the desperate need of the suffering, both those who suffer in spirit, in the spiritual sense, and in the physical sense. And then Jesus works through those who fasten their eyes on the need. That's what Peter did. And then Jesus works through those who reach out and actually meet the need. Remember what I think it's John that says, whoso seeth this person in need, and he shuts up his bowels of compassion toward that person. He saw the need. Instead of reaching out and meeting that need, maybe he says, hey, bless you. Go on your way. I hope everything gets better for you. But if the Holy Presence, the Spirit of God, is speaking to our heart and he's saying that you need to help them in whatever, reach out and meet the need. You know what he goes on to say? If we see them in need and we shut up our bowels of compassion toward him, how dwelleth the love of God in us? So many times, we're like the Pharisee. We're like the Levite. Maybe we see the need of the Samaritan and we go by on the other side. Well, somebody else will come along. And I've been guilty of that. We probably all have, correct? And I began to think how that today Jesus wants to work through those who are faithful in prayer. Y'all agree with that? We talked about prayer those three times of day, and I think it's important that we understand that prayer is not just a necessity. It is our lifeline, but it's also a privilege. It's a privilege, something that we take for granted, no doubt. Isn't it wonderful to know that when we have needs and we have concerns, that we can go all, bypass everyone, and go all the way up to heaven, to the throne of God, and talk to the Father. I'm talking about talking over with the Creator, the one who spoke it all into existence. I don't know about you, but I think that supersedes me calling and talking to President Trump, don't you? Amen. I believe with all my heart that it's a privilege that we take for granted. And please, let's do not do that. Let's talk to Him. He wants to hear from us. Jesus works through those who see the desperate need of the suffering and those who suffer in spirit and body. And it's tough to distinguish today in this culture in which we live because there's so many. Can I just go ahead and be frank? We're leery about helping people because there's so many deadbeats in this world. Right? But I'll tell you something. Even sometimes those that we classify this way or that way, they still need help. So let's don't shut up our bowels of compassion too quick and miss the blessing that God has for us. And I understand, we all do, about how, the way society is today, but I do know this, I believe God wants us to open up and help people. So Jesus works through those who see the desperate need of the suffering, especially the physical aspect, but then also we tend to overlook, we focus so much on the physical, we overlook the spiritual. It'd be wonderful to feed the hungry all the way across the world today, wouldn't it? I would love to be able to see that accomplished. But I think it's also important that we do not lose sight on the fact that there's so many spiritual needs across this world today. They need Jesus. Amen. What is the solution? We had violence last week before, not this past week, but the week before in Florida, where we know there was a massive school shooting, correct? What's the answer? Taking our guns, is that the answer? We have debate on both sides of the aisle from everybody. We have different opinions. You know what the answer is? They need Jesus. And I think if more people had Him, there'd still be violence, but there'd be less of that. We need Jesus. We need to allow Him to work and fulfill our spiritual needs today. And if we see the needs of others, you know, it's amazing to us. We look at it, how did so many times did the kid fall through the cracks being addressed and how all the different causes? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, but I do know this. I believe Jesus could have helped it. But if He didn't accept Him and He rejected it, then He probably couldn't have. But at least we need to see the need out there. When we see the need, we should act on it. Correct? How important it is to see those who are suffering, those who are struggling. They are like this lame man sitting on the steps of the temple, and he can't do anything for himself. They have to bring Him out here every day, every Sunday, whenever it is that He comes, every Sabbath. We know that would be Saturday in that day. But whenever it was, they set Him on the steps of the temple at the gate called Beautiful, and He's helpless, totally helpless. Well, I want you to understand this. The lost people in this world, they're totally helpless unless somebody points them to Jesus. That could be us. That could be you. And I thought about it. As he's there and he's helpless and he's isolated, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody would just fasten their eyes on him? Look at this. Jesus works through those who fasten their eyes upon the need. Have you ever seen someone in need? Or do we just turn our head and keep going? Or do we look at it? Do we meet it? Do we address it? Let's talk about the spiritual needs. Sure, the physical is important. And a lot of times, especially in the mission culture, you have to feed them and get their belly full, and then we're ready to accept the word. Sometimes it's that way here, physically. But let's don't overlook, and let's see the means. Let's see the opportunity that we have as a people, because the need is people physically and spiritually have needs. Help us, God, to be where you could use us. Help us, O Lord. You see, fasten their eyes. The word fastening his eyes means fixed attention, an earnest, intense gaze, continuous, steadfast attention. That means he looked and he focused on this guy. So then, not only that, but he looked out and he said, silver and gold. You know, right before this, he said, look on us. Look on us, right? So he works through those who reach out to meet the need. And so I thought about it as he said, look on us. And then he begins to give the response. And you've seen the video where the guy had his head down and then he looked up and he looked at Peter and he looked at John. You see, I'm thankful that we should see the need. Jesus gave us a word in John chapter 4, verse 35. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. I know where I'm going, don't you? For behold, the fields are white and ready for harvest. But please, let's don't be the one that looks out through there and all we see is just a bunch of white bows of cotton that someday it may turn into a piece of fabric or even a shirt or a pair of pants. But each one, as we see the field being white, each one represents a soul. And they're important to God. So help us, Lord. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, I've showed you all things. How that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. More blessed to give than to receive. Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 6, verse number 2, he said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, I'm going to give it to you. So I don't have a pocket full of money, lame man. Right? I don't have silver and gold, but I do have Jesus. So I'm going to offer him to you. So can we turn this around and let's ask ourselves a question? Let me ask you a question. If I had what you have, what would I have? Would I want it? Would I desire it? Would it fulfill my life spiritually? If I had what you have, if I had your faith, your desire, what would I have? I want to have and possess Jesus, don't you? And I want to give him. I want to give him. I thought about this. Three things that we need to understand. Number one, the presence and the power of God is not in silver and gold. I possess him, don't you? Oh my, he's more precious than gold, is he not? I'm talking about more precious than gold. We need gold, we need the greenback, we need the money to be able to buy groceries, don't we? To pay our bills, we need all this. But I'm thankful that Jesus is more precious than gold. Aren't you? So another thing, Jesus' presence and power are not found in silver and gold. Number two, Jesus' presence and power are found in Jesus' name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Right? There's power in the name of Jesus. And I thought about this, and I didn't ask her. Y'all don't get on me for putting her on the spot, because we're going to help her.
What are we singing?
There's a name above all others, wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. Through his name there's wondrous power, power to redeem, making sinners clean. By his power he cleansed the leper, opened blinded eyes, caused the dead to rise. He'll return in clouds of glory, saints of every race shall behold his face. With him enter heaven's city, ever proclaim, what a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Pamela. Thank you, Lord. Y'all can be seated. I'm not done. I don't know, I just couldn't get through without doing that. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. What's significant about his name? Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, because of his name, he will save their people from their sins. The Greek name, the English rendering of the Greek name, Iesous, which is a translation of the Hebrew word Yehoshua, which being translated is Joshua. The Greek version, also in the New Testament, is Joshua in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. The name of Jesus is significant because of who it represents. It means God, our Savior. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Friday, I turned at the school to go down toward the Board of Education there at Etowah, and there's a soccer kid crossing the road going to the soccer field, and somebody hollered at the back, he said, "Don't run over Jesus." And I thought, I'm not running over Jesus. Not at all. We're going to let him go. Don't even want to be associated with running over a kid named Jesus. Do you? Not any kid, especially Jesus. Jesus' presence and power are still at work today. He's working miracles and meeting the needs of the people. There's miracles all around us. I know that a lot of people says we're out of that apostolic age. And in that era, yes, we are. But I want to tell you something. My God's not dead. He still does miracles today. Amen. How important it is that we see that Jesus is alive. So Peter reached down and he took the man by the hand. What faith? The man led him. What trust? Jesus healed him. What power? What power? Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say this mountain, remove hence yonder to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look what Jesus says in John 16. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Right? Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power, the Holy Spirit, not power within Jeff or any other demonic force, but the Holy Presence that lives in me because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things, so to speak. We have to place the power of God in him. Have faith to believe that he can do these things. That's his will. Don't y'all believe that? So the lame man was completely changed. His attitude was totally different. He was standing. He was walking. He was leaping. I'm talking about he was different. He got excited, didn't he? They saw him walking and praising God. He's a changed person. So a changed person will stir people, their desire, the same miracle of their own lives. I'm talking about if we're changed, it will cause people's interest to be piqued. Right? So let our light shine before men that they may see, Lord, your good works, your good works. And in so doing, it will glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let's get to here. Remember that man? I told you to remember that face. I'm amazed. He was there. He was bewildered. He was helpless and isolated. And now all of a sudden he's walking into the temple. Did y'all hear the trumpet, the shofar sound, a call to worship? And that got his attention. And up the steps. And now he's walking in, never seen this portion of the temple before. And he's amazed. And I know we're right at that 45 mark, but y'all bear with me. Because I'm amazed. I was like that man walking in. I'm amazed. If you need to pray, I ask you to come. How alone I was feeling. Can you see that man here?
And the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you show on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free,
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I'm pardoned, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away.
Stronger than my weakness, and your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. Other friends can never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problem of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need.
I'm amazed that you love me.
Yes, I am.
How you care
through
your precious blood.
I'm
lame man. And I'm thankful somebody told me about Jesus. Changed my life forever. And I'm still amazed that He loves me. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today.